Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be, that you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of, that you deserve the existence you have been given or it would not have been granted to you, that you deserve all the love you can imagine because love is what you are made out of, that you deserve all the light you can create in your life because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Welcome to Revolutionary Life.
This is Gary. I'm your host. Welcome to Revolutionary Life here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here on Blog Talk Radio every weekday night, by the way. Monday to Friday, guys. And we're here from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And when we're here talking about stuff, things that affect our lives every day. Some of them affect us directly. Some things affect us indirectly. But the difference is we deal with those things from a revolutionary point of view. That's right. We talk about some of the subjects that they talk about in the news, some they don't. But whatever we talk about, we're going to talk about it from the point of view of revolutionary change. And that's all revolution is, change. That's all revolution is change. And the revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. You know, if you're on the front of change when it goes down, you might have something to do with shaping how that change ends up when it lands. If you're on the ass end of change, then you probably won't have much to say about anything. All right. And so we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. And so tonight on Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio, we're going to deal with the stimulus checks. I understand there's another round of stimulus checks going out to families with children in July. And c'est la vie. We're going to talk about these checks, but there's a petition going around, guys, that millions of people have signed, and I don't know if you've signed it yet or even seen it yet. But the petition going around is for there to be, until this entire pandemic and all this stuff is settled, that for there to be a regular monthly check. Like the $1,400 or the $600 that came out recently. So there's a petition right now that's going to Biden with 2 million people signed. I think more people signing on for there to be a monthly stimulus distribution. How about that? And so it's almost like, it's almost like universal basic income. And we did a whole another piece on that. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight anyway. I don't know if you got the petition, but there is a petition right now with millions of signatures on it, over 2 million from what last I count, of people who are Republicans, it's mostly Democrats, who have signed on to do a monthly stimulus check, at least until this year's out or the pandemic's over or, you know, the country's back on its feet. And so everybody's pulling their hair out about it. Some people think it might happen. Some people think it's not likely to happen. But it brings me back to a bigger question. Should the government be issuing monthly from now on, you know, like what was this young dude in California, young mayor or something in California, and a couple other places in Canada. Canada is now considering introducing a universal basic income. So every month the government sends a check out to people who make under a certain amount of money. And so we're going to talk about that tonight, guys. I don't know if you've seen this petition. I don't know if you want to get on it. I can tell you how to get on it because I've seen it. And whether it's going to help at all. And we got some comments from people and who says going to help, who says not going to help, you know, back and forth. And so what do you think? I did a piece on the universal basic income. And that's what this is, to me, leaning towards, is more than just an emergency bill now. But let's take a look at that. When we get back, guys, there's a new stimulus check coming out for families with children. I think it's in July. And there's a drive for monthly checks for everybody who got the $1,400 monthly check. It's a drive to do that again every month. In fact, if they want to kick it up to $2,000, at least $2,000 a month. And so I'm going to give you a little music, guys. When we come back, we're going to talk about stimulus checks, giving away money, handing out money, government passing out money, and whether that's beneficial or not. I'm sure there's those who don't think it is. I'm sure there's those who think it is. Again, we have, this is a call-in show. This is a call-in show, and I will set it, I have purposely set aside time for you to call in. I will announce that time, and I will give out our call-in number, and I will open our chat room. Our chat room, that's right. We'll have a chat room open where you can put your comments into, and we'll have a phone number where you can call and go straight on the line. Everybody on the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will get my hear my response. All right. And so I'm going to give you a little music. And when we get back, let's talk stimulus checks. Monthly, maybe. I'll see you in a minute. And we're back, guys. We're having a little audio problems here. And so I hope I'm coming through pretty clear. I just wanted to test my voice there to make sure it was coming out. It looked like we were breaking up. We had some bad weather here in my town. And so we might have some internet and interruptions, it sounds like. Well, we'll see. So far, so good. All right. Yeah, so far, so good, guys. All right. So let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts on these stimulus checks? Like I said, it's a call-in show. I'll open those lines up in a minute. I want you to think about it. Because I would like to express, again, guys, I'll talk about the universal basic income. Now, there is a movement about to have $2,000. It literally is a petition that's going to Biden. It's got Democrats on it, and it's got thousands of millions, 2-point-something million signatures from citizens who are petitioning the government to do stimulus checks every month. I guess it's at least until the end of this year or till this unemployment pandemic situation is over. And there's a lot of people who doubt that will happen. There's a lot of people who doubt it should happen, as a matter of fact. But this idea of a stimulus check, this idea of a monthly stimulus check, this idea of just the government cutting checks to certain people below certain income, of course, they don't get, I don't think everybody gets them, I'm not sure. And if that's, you know, we had Andrew Yang ran for president, an Asian guy ran for president this year and in this election, yeah. And one of his platforms was a universal basic income, a UBI, a universal basic income, where he said he offered $1,000, something like that, to each family every month. Universal basic income. You've heard of that. It's already a program in some countries, even India, one of the poorest countries, are considering a universal basic income for its citizens. In this country, I think there's a mayor in a small town in California. I'll look that guy up. I think there's a mayor there, a guy that was elected there, who put in a universal basic income in his town. And for people on a certain income. And guys, so far so good. And so it looks like it's working, except in the big picture, their arguments are a couple of things. Number one, the arguments are that it's gonna that we're printing this money out of nowhere. Well, we've been doing that for a while. It's called fiat currency. It's only fiat because currency used to be backed by precious metals and stuff like that. However, this money is just printed money, promissory notes. In fact, your money should just say Federal Reserve note across the top of it. Don't say money. It doesn't say gold or silver. It says this is a piece of paper that's a Federal Reserve promissory note, a promise to pay. It's debt. And so the government prints more debt, prints more dollars, so it can give out all this money because the government ain't got all this money in reserve, right? We're in debt. There's a debt clock. I mean, in certain, I guess it's in D.C. or New York, you can walk by and there's a big clock showing the national debt. And it's always ticking. And so we are in deep debt. We are struggling to pay our debt, right? The previous administration gave a permanent tax cut to wealthy individuals people who make way more money than most of us do, and up. So the upper income folks got a permanent tax cut under the last administration. And that means that there's less money coming into taxes, right? Now, of course, the wealthy do everything they can to not pay taxes. And that's okay with you, right? In fact, you wish you could learn how to not pay taxes, right? It's called something for nothing. We got used to that in this country. So if you make money, you hide it so you don't have to share it with anything or anybody that helped you make it. That's how we do things in this country, and that's how, in fact, it's historic. It's historic. That's how you get rich. If you can get people to help you create something you can sell for money, a commodity, and you sell that commodity for money, when you return back with the money, or when you get this money for this product, you can get rich if you give as little as you can to the people who helped you get that money. As much of that money you can keep, the wealthier you can get. This is not a new dynamic. I'm not making it up. It's all based on something for nothing. It's all based on how can I make all this money and don't share it or share as little as possible with the people who helped me make it, my workers, labor, everything, my bills, if I can get out of paying my bills, if I can get out of paying. So what I'll do is I'll take this money I just made and I'll put it in an offshore account. And so that I hide this money. And if the banks and the federal government doesn't know I have this money, they can't tax me on it. They can't ask me to give up, to break off a little bit to the government that allowed you to make that money, to the type of government that allowed you to make that money, to the government that was a fertile ground for you to make that money. And so you want police and fire and a military and all that good stuff that's provided by the government. Reliable utilities. You know, there's some countries that ain't got 24-hour utilities. They can't afford it. They have brownouts in some foreign countries where certain time of day, everybody's lights go dim. And some people don't even have hot and cold running water. Let alone utilities 24/7, reliable utilities 24/7. You can't run a business in a country where the utilities might get shut off half a day and half, you know, before the day's over, because the country doesn't have any utility infrastructure. You can come to this country and there's 24-hour electricity. Yeah, you can, if you can afford it, you can come to this country and there's 24-hour electricity. That's 24-hour electricity for everyone who can afford a bill. There is street lights. There are streets. There are sidewalks. There are street. There are police. There are fire department. Whatever your business is that catches on fire, your local fire department will come and put it out, but you don't owe them a dime. When you get that money you make, that local fire department better not ask you for a dime. Yet it has to be at the ready if you have a fire. And so let's don't get it twisted. We know that the government's in debt, and we know that most of our taxes go to pay down the debt, not to buy new products, but or things like Kevlar vests for soldiers, for your loved ones over there fighting. The government, the federal government, could buy Kevlar vests so the bullets don't kill your loved ones over there fighting, if it's got the money. But it gets that money through taxes, from my understanding, the federal income tax. It ain't that we ain't got the money. It looks like the money is there. As a matter of fact, without printing it. You see, that's what's going on with Biden right now. Biden wants to raise the capital gains tax. He wants to raise taxes on those who are making, you know, over certain millions of dollars, right? Which is not all of us. Which is very few of us. Which is the 1% of us. Right? I mean, once you start making $1 billion, once you are a billionaire, and we got people in this country like Bezos, Amazon, who's getting close to becoming a trillionaire. And there are some people that say, well, you know, that's great. Don't punish people for being rich. Don't punish people for being successful. That's what the slogan is. When you tax the rich, you're soaking the rich. Well, if you're going to soak anything, you soak something that's got some water in it, that's saturated. And you can't soak the pool. You know, you can't get blood out of a turnip. So if you're going to do some soaking, you go to the one that's filled and you squeeze it. It can survive the squeeze. The ones that ain't got nothing in the first place, why squeeze them? Soaking the rich, they said. Well, they can take it. We can't. That's all I'm saying. Excuse me, guys. If you're going to soak somebody, you got to soak somebody that's already fluid, that's already filled, that's already saturated. You soak, you know, you squeeze the sponge that's got the water in it to get the water out of it. You don't squeeze the dry sponge. And so you're going to be called soaking the rich. You're going to be called punishing success whenever you say those people who are making out should give back. Now, I'm sure in an ideal world, well, in a world run like a family, you might think, if you invest in a public education system such that if I start a business, it doesn't take me long to find people who are literate, who can read and write, to hire. If I start a business, it won't take me long to find people who can count, who know a little math. Right? If I start a business, it's not unlikely that I can find people who can make it back forward to my job, even if they don't have a car, because of public transportation. I wouldn't depend on public transportation in my town, but for getting back and forth to work. But I know that when I start looking for workers, I don't have to teach them to read and write, because there was a public education system that did a fair job at teaching them reading, writing, and arithmetic. I didn't teach it to them. They came already reading and writing. Now, you can go to some countries and start your business, and there are going to be people who walk in there who've never been to a school. or have a poor education. Educated people are infrastructure. Just like a well-built highway, a road, a bridge, or high-speed rail, or, you know, public transportation, high-speed transportation, that kind of thing. All the things that make a country run smoother, and that make your business run smoother. Many of those things are already there when you got there. You know, they got on Obama's case because Obama said something about you didn't build that to some small business about businesses. And nobody, and when you go back and read, listen to the speech, he literally saying, just what I just got to say. Your business is in a building that was there when you got there. You didn't build it. The utility companies that hooked up to your building that bring you power, you don't run those engines. You don't produce that electricity. You don't run those lines. When a storm comes, you don't fix those lines. The utility company comes out and fix those lines if your electricity goes down. When a fire starts, I don't care what kind of business you have. There is a fire department to show up. All of it, if you put your big house up on a hill and a forest fire starts, there's a fire department coming. Unless you own a private fire department, there's a fire department coming to help put that fire out. If your business is robbed, if there's an injury on your job, a paramedic is coming in. He's not your private paramedic. He's not your private police officer. He's not your private fireman. Place when you got there. And so you don't owe nothing. For those things are in place. Because, no, I mean, I understand. It's the same thing they say about the American people who don't appreciate having all the things that poor countries don't have. But I tell you what, businesses and the wealthy who try to get out of paying taxes, tax shelters, who can teach you how to get out of paying taxes, who can tell you, the last president said it was smart. When they said you got out of paying taxes, he said that's called being smart. And so if that's your ethos, then there's nothing patriotic about it. There's nothing, first of all, forget about patriotic. Forget about wanting the nation to advance. Forget about giving a damn about the country, the nation you live in. If you don't want to pay taxes, you will keep your money at any cost. And you'll argue, I hate politicians. And politicians just going to put this money in their pocket and all that good stuff. But the bottom line is that if all the politicians was good and you loved the politicians and you loved the government and you thought the government was doing great things, you would still try to keep that money because it ain't about the politicians. It ain't about politics. It ain't about religion. It ain't about none of that. It's about you keeping that money. That's why you put your money offshore. Not because you don't trust the government. Because you don't want to give up none of that money. Come on now. It's plain. That's why you got a Swiss bank account. That's why your money is in some bank in the Bahamas, hidden from the government. That's why you got tax lawyers to teach you how to get away from paying taxes. Because once you make all that money, you want to put that money in your pocket like you made it all by yourself. Number one, the people who work for you don't want to have as pay. Number two, the bills you accumulate making those products and selling those products you don't want to have as pay for. And now that you've sold products and you're making the money, you don't want to half-ass pay taxes on it. You would like that if you could have that money, product, that the environment you live in allowed you to make and protected your rights to make it and keep all that money in your pocket. And that's the bottom line. You know how I know? Because it ain't your fault. You know how I know? Because that's what slavery is. Greece, Rome, America, slavery. It's been around a long time. And it's all about having somebody help you make cream. And you cashing that value in and returning little or none of that value to the people who helped you make it. You can become a trillionaire. You can become a billionaire. Just think about it. If you didn't have to pay your workers, all you had to pay to them was the minimum amount that was there for you, that's lunch money for you. If you didn't have to pay taxes, you could keep all that money. You could get something for nothing. And so there's a whole industry out there. Donald Trump had a university called the Donald Trump University. It is now closed down, and there are several lawsuits against it. But when it was running, it was being advertised as how to make you a real estate tycoon or somebody wealthy enough to be like Donald Trump. And once you got in there, you were supposed to learn all kind of business secrets. It was a business school. The lawsuits I was telling you about against this university right now were lawsuits that were filed because most people who paid to go to the school found out they didn't learn any secrets, that they didn't learn anything they couldn't have learned going to Harvard Business School or any other business school. Nothing special. And so they felt like they got screwed out of their money because they were supposed to learn the secrets. They were supposed to learn how to beat the government out of taxes, how to wheel and deal, I guess it is, how to play bankruptcy here and there and all that. And it becomes a game for those who know how to play it and can afford to play it. Who can ante up, who can afford to play the game, can play it. And so, these business schools, these universities are supposed to tell you how to make money, but what they're really trying to do is tell you how to get away with money without paying anybody that you owe, that help you make that money. So now they're talking about a monthly check coming out. The thing about a monthly check, well, let's talk about that. Because a monthly check and that petition for a monthly check is like a universal basic income. It's like giving out a check every month. It's like raising the minimum wage. It's like paying the cost of living as your minimum wage, the cost of living in your area, like it used to be when the minimum wage started. Now it's arbitrary. But here's the thing. There's always going to be opposition. When it's time to bail out working people, your population, your basic majority population, working folks, labor. That seems to be all right when you bail out a corporation. I mean, we've bailed out a few big ones. some of them, after they bailed out, ran and still closed down. Our close business here and took off to another country after we bailed them out. We bailed out automobile manufacturers. We bailed out the financial community. Under the Obama administration, there was something called too big to fail. We had to bail them out because they were too big to allow them to fail, and they were failing. So we saved failing businesses. Those same businesses have a trove of tax lawyers who ensure, whose job it is to make sure that those same businesses and the wealthy people who run those financial institutions that were bailed out, who run those auto companies that were bailed out, they all have lawyers and whatnot to help them avoid paying taxes. They all fight union organizing efforts to help them avoid paying workers. But we bailed them out. We asked them to put some money back. Then we soak in the rich. Yeah, we bailed them out. Yeah, if Bezos warehouse catch on fire, yeah, your public fire department is going to show up and risk their lives to put it out. Yeah, if Bezos, if Amazon has a active shooter, yeah, the local police is going to show up. But ask Bezos to pay some taxes so we can have a local police department and a fire department. Or national or federal health and safety system. If your workers didn't show up sick to work, did you feed them? Did you give them breakfast this morning? If they showed up to work, did you make sure that they had a road to drive on? Or a street to walk on, or a public transit, or a bus to take to your job. You know what I mean? It's a system, baby. And if you come into the system to make money, you owe the system. I'm sorry. That's the way the game works. And everybody who comes into the system want to make that money. But they don't owe the system. They want to get out of here with every dime that they can scoop up. We have it going on right here in our town, and you probably got it going on in your town. We have suburbs, and we have cities, little small cities around our major city. And so people come in from these county, little county localities, municipalities, in and around the city. And they work here in the city. And they get paid more here in the city than they would in a little rural town. In fact, there may not even be the jobs. So they got here to the city. They found jobs in the city. They're making city money. But they live in the burbs. Or they live in the small town just outside the city. Every morning you see them coming in from local county areas into the city. They got government jobs. They got all kinds of jobs here in the city. But when they get that paycheck, they go back out to their little town and pay their property taxes. Maybe they pay their property taxes there. I don't know. Maybe I may not have them. I don't know. But they want to make city money. But they want to pay small town expenses. What's that about? Keeping some of that money. That's all it is. And there ain't nothing wrong with it. It's just the way things work. You don't want to give up any of that money that the city that you came down to work in, that you got a job in, that got you that had that job for you. that had that opportunity available. They got roads and highways that can bring you from your little small town into the city in an hour. And then once you make that city money, you head back out to your little small town where the prices are low. Because the living is low. That's how you make it. It happens here all the time. And you don't owe the city nothing. If the city better not ask you for nothing, or you get upset. The city can't ask you for anything. It lets you come in here and make all kinds of money and run off with it back to your little small town. And now your little small town is flourishing, but it ain't flourishing because of money being made in that town. It ain't being flourishing because that town is doing anything progressive. The money is coming from the city. Every morning, guys, you see the cars coming in from the county. And they all work here. Some of them work for the government. Some of them heading downtown to City Hall. But they don't live here. They wouldn't live here. They'll come here and get that money. They'll work here. They'll come here to get that money. But they live out there. And if we was the city was to stop them and say, hey, since you're not a city resident, you owe a little bit more taxes for the opportunity that you just got. And they'd be up in arms about it. Half a penny, guys. I've heard them up. I've seen a petition for 0.5 cent tax rate up increase for education. If everybody paid 0.5 cent and new taxes for education, local taxes for education, we could do all of this. And that was a poster up, 0.5 cent. Do you know that people wouldn't give a dime, wouldn't give 0.5 cent in new taxes? And they'll tell you how they hate politicians and all this shit is corrupt, and all they do is put that money in their pocket as they go to work or go to business, making money in the city. They like they got political reasons and all that, but ain't but one reason. Ain't one reason, baby. Let's face it. You're trying to keep some of that money. And so, when it comes to bailing out poor and working people, how does a stimulus check work? Well, there's already been a study now to show that stimulus checks worked out pretty good. Nobody lost. Everybody got something out of it. Now businesses are opening back up after the pandemic, lockdowns and whatnot. And people still asking for that check. In fact, there's a petition for those checks to be monthly. What do you think about that? Until this pandemic is over, maybe that's necessary. Maybe not. I think it's akin to, or we're getting to a point, we're going to end up, well, we need to do what Canada's doing now. And that is a universal basic income. And I'll tell you why. Let me give you a little music, guys. I want you to think about that. When I come back, let's talk about that monthly check every month. Nonstop. That's a universal basic income. Let's talk about that when we get back. Here's a little music. You are listening to Revolutionary Life, where we deal with these issues that deal with our lives, but we deal with them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change, and Lord have mercy. There's some things that need around here. Now, when I told you when we left here just a minute ago that there's over 2.2, something like that, million people that have signed a petition that is going, and including some Democratic politicians, Democrats, who have signed a petition that's going to Biden to introduce a monthly stimulus check for everyone. Everyone under a certain income, I'm sure. Everyone under a certain income. Now, let's just make that plain, because there was a guy running for president, Andrew Yang, an Asian guy, who had, I think it was Andrew Yang, yeah, who was offering a universal basic income for everyone. And he was talking about $1,000 a month. Which ain't a whole lot of money, right? And so, but given prices and costs of living. But he was, there are people out there advocating at least a regular check during the pandemic. And that's what this, this particular petition out there is about, keeping those checks coming. Now, they're still coming. There's a stimulus check coming out in July, I think it is. For families with kids, with a child care, with a child care twist to it, where if you have children under a certain age, et cetera, then you will get a child credit. And these checks for each child and that kind of thing. And so if you have children, you can look forward to maybe getting another stimulus check. And again, if you're under a certain income. And when I say under a certain income guy, this Andrew Yang guy who said give everybody a monthly check, he meant everybody, even people who didn't need it. Even the stimulus check have gone that way. We've had companies that give money back. Few. And far in between, maybe one or two. You can count them on one hand out of the hundreds and hundreds of companies in this country and wealthy individuals who returned the money and said, we don't need this. Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway company, entrepreneur, investment company, hedge fund or whatever that is. He's a very wealthy guy. Financier. The reason I brought him up is that he says that he want to write a book. He was thinking of writing a book for billionaires. He was thinking of putting out a book for billionaires, strictly for billionaires. And he said the name of the book would be How to Live Comfortably Off $500 million a Year. So this book was for billionaires, not for everybody. And he was going to propose that he's wealthy. But he is going to write a book, he said. He said he was thinking of writing a book that says How to Live Comfortably in America of $500 million a year. Now, how many people in the sound of my voice, how many folks you know, are people in the sound of my voice who don't think you can live comfortably in this country if you made $500 million last year? If you brought in $500 million last year, think you'd be all right? You think you'd be have to worry about food, clothing, and shelter? Basic survival needs. There are people out here getting up, going to work every day just to pay rent, utilities, food, clothing, and shelter, baby. Basics. one jump ahead of their bills, paycheck to paycheck. And so, point was, once you start becoming a billionaire, any more money you make, it's just fluff. You know, Bezos, Amazon, just went out and bought a yacht that's big as a city, damn near. So it ain't like he broke. But he paid less taxes than probably most of the people who work for him had to pay this year. He paid less taxes probably than you. Plus, he got a tax cut from the last president who gave a tax cut to everybody who made big money, to the 1%. Permanent tax cut. Told them they didn't have to pay tax so much. So they don't have to give back. And so once you made $1 billion, guys, ain't you over the hump? You know, when working people talk about trying to get over the hump, trying to get over that one hard spot. Once you make $1 billion a year, do you think you're over the hump by now? Anyway, Warren Buffett says he's going to write a book for billionaires. And it's going to be called How to Live Comfortably in America of $500 million a year. That's half a billion. How would you do? How would you be? Would you be okay if you could come in, if you could bring in about $500 million a year? And, I mean, I'm sure there are those who hear me who would be feel comfortable if they brought in $500,000 a year. Those who are making less than six figures working every day. And so a universal basic income that's being tried out in several countries. India is one of them. And I think maybe one of some Scandinavian countries. But the idea is that no one falls below a certain level of income. Now, I'm a proponent, personally, of a universal basic income because I'm a proponent, personally, and a member, personally, of the working class of people at this time, people who sell their labor for money. That's probably many other people who were in my voice. And if you work for a living, then yeah, and I come up on your side when it comes to this. Now, I know there's some people who say, hey, if you give people basic income, they won't go to work. But it ain't your business what they do, whether they go to work or not. First of all. Second of all, a universal basic income, you know, Andrew Yang said $1,000 a month. You think if you got $1,000 a month, you'd be good? You could just live off of that? That's a joke. That's below the poverty line. If you got a $1,400 check, just like they sent out here with the pandemic every month, you think you're going to live off of that? If you got kids to feed? If you got hopes, if you got dreams, if you want to send your kid to college, all that good stuff, you ain't going to make it. But that's not the point. The point is that as a government, just a government, and guys, I did a whole thing on politics. I did a whole thing on governing. I did a whole thing on a new political party called the Independence Party. It has a whole another approach to governing, right? And if you go back and look at my presentations, all my stuff is archived, so you can always go back and look at my older shows. And you'll see some of the stuff we talked about governing. And one of the things is that a government, like a family, provides a floor for its members, a floor to which they do not fall, if possible. That is to say, that the lowest you can be in this country is a universal basic income. That you don't end up homeless, hungry, and ragged for lack of income. Because all that does is provide an area of poverty and neediness on the government. You want less government? Have less people who need help from the government. And if people got a universal basic income, many of them may not need other government services that they currently get. They may be able to afford basic things. And when I say afford, I mean working people are going to usually have to spend or save that money. They are. They got bills. They got debt. They got kids growing up, going to school. They got health care issues. They're going to spend that money. And every time they do, it turns the economy around. It turns the wheels of the economy around. Now, if you give that money to Bezos or some wealthy guy, you give them a tax break. You give them a $1,000 check or something like that, that's nothing to them. A wealthy will take that money and maybe buy some artwork with it. Maybe put it in an offshore account. Maybe buy a brand new Ferrari for their son. If you give that $1,400 to Joe Blow down here on the street, he gonna go to the store with that money. He gonna pay the rent man with that money. He gonna catch up on his light bill with that money. He might finally get some new shoes, some clothes for his kids, back to school clothes, winter clothes, and the like. He might be able to pay that health care bill that he keep getting billed for, that he keep getting them letters in the mailbox for, because he went in for a simple operation and didn't realize that it's going to cost thousands of dollars behind all those tests, and his insurance ain't covering it. He's going to have to pay insurance, life insurance, auto insurance. These are mandatory in my town, auto insurance, but health insurance, homeowners insurance, right? Life insurance, homeowners insurance, auto insurance. My goodness. All of those costs are waiting for that little money when it comes in for the average working person. And they have to decide whether to pay all these insurances. Right? Fix that car that's broken down. Send that kid who's in college some money to live on. Pay that loan back that they keep getting threatened and billed and called for. You know, we're talking about people out here one jump ahead of their bills, man. Paycheck to paycheck. One jump ahead of your bills. No. I'm a proponent of universal basic income because it gives working people leverage. The government just gave you a little leverage. I'm into universal health care because it gives you a little leverage. Because it gives working people some leverage. Try giving working people some leverage and they say, oh, it's going to make them lazy. They're not going to want to work. Wow, who would say that? Who does it benefit to say that? The people who want you to come to work. And the people who want to pay you chump change for work. The people who want something for nothing out of you. Because if you got alternatives, I can't leave this job because it's got a good health plan and my child has a chronic illness. So I can't afford to leave. I hate this job. It's stressing me out. Except it's got a good health plan. And my child has a chronic illness that needs me to be able to be on this plan to afford. If you had universal health care in this country, you wouldn't have to keep a job just so you can hold on to that little health care. You'd have health care, job or no job. You'd have options. If you decided to leave a job, if you decided to strike on a job for better wages and working conditions or whatever, if you decided to walk away from a job, if you had universal basic income, you could do that for a while you look for better work. You see, you'd have options. That somebody don't want you to have options because they think you won't come to work. Well, who would put that forward? Who would be scared you wouldn't come to work? Who would be scared the most that you wouldn't come to work? And that's the places that you work for. That's your employer. It ain't got nothing to do with helping you. It got everything to do with helping the employer. Not only that, if you had universal income, you wouldn't take the wage they're offering. You would have choices. You would have options. The idea is that you shouldn't have any options. The business community doesn't want you to have options. They want you to get up and bring your ass to work. And to not leave that job, not because you like the job or don't like the job and all that kind of stuff. No, you don't leave that job because you can't afford to leave it. That's how you keep a workforce. You keep them one jump ahead of their bills. You make sure that job is how they feed themselves. And if they feed themselves and get their health care and all that through a job, they're going to depend on that job. They can't afford to argue for better this or better that because they might get fired. They can't afford to walk away from a job because it's detrimental. It's a waste of their time. And it's just making the owners rich, and they ain't getting nowhere. They might want to move on. But if they don't get options, they'll stay with that job for 30 years. So, guys, I'm a proponent of a monthly check. I would have signed that too. I would have been part of that 2.2 million who signed that thing saying we need to get a monthly check. But it wasn't about, for me, it's not just about the pandemic. For me, it's about giving working folks options. It's about giving you options that you don't have. It's about you not having to go to work for somebody because you have to. It's about independence in a way, because it might give you a platform, a basic income might give you a platform from which to jump off to something else, your own business even. But if you ain't got a platform to stand on, if you ain't got a foundation to stand on, if you just working a job that you know you're going to have one day to the next, if you're working a job where you have to put up with the hours and the pay, because you don't think you have alternatives. That's no way to run a government. But that's the way this one runs. If I can keep you one jump ahead of your bills, you'll come to work. And you won't cause a fuss when you do, for fear of losing the job. a job. All right. So public education, public health care, all of those things are just food, clothing, and shelter, and education. All of those things is just basics in any society. And everybody should be pitching in to make sure those things are happening. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Supposedly. The society comes together for security, health, the common health, common welfare, public health, public good, all that kind of good shit. But there's no real organization going on around that effort. The organization is going on around making sure businesses are happy. You have an alternative where you have an option. They say you won't come to work. You won't get up off your butt and go to work. It'll make you lazy if you got to pay a paycheck every week. Well, I'm a proponent of the old army thing. In the military, they say an army moves as fast as its slowest soldier. I'm a proponent of not leaving slow soldiers behind. All right. I'm a proponent of going back and getting those that have fell between the cracks. I'm a proponent of making sure there's no poverty. Because it's like a disease, baby. It crawls up your leg. You can't find a neighborhood. You can't move far enough away from the city to make sure the ills of poverty don't reach you. That you don't have to see it when you drive through the city, the homelessness, the hunger, the broke down houses. Out of sight, out of mind. Oh, you'll come into that city to make some money, but you'll take back off to your little suburban area or town where it's less expensive to live. So everybody's playing for themselves. They're not playing for the whole. And so you wonder why we can't get everybody to fall in line behind a pandemic or anything else as a united people. No, we're not going to be united because the government don't play united. The government talks united, but they play business. They play division. They play people going to work off of desperation, not going to work to make a living, just going to work to survive. That's good enough. And depending on a job for that survival. Universal basic income, a regular monthly check from the government, that's reparations. I need to do a piece on reparations, guys. If you are, if you spend three centuries building a country, compensated for adequately, if at all, then you need some reparations. You do some pay. If the government allowed for you to be a slave, or if the government allowed for you to be discriminated against, I mean, we've had laws against discrimination for maybe 50 years. We've not had laws against discrimination for hundreds of years. 17, 18, this country became a country supposedly in the 1700s. A century later, even though it had slaves from the 16th when it started as a colony, but centuries later, it allowed, it first passed its first law against enslaving people, human beings. 100 years after that law, 1865, in 1968, Martin Luther King was shot in the head for fighting for the civil rights of the same people that had been freed from slavery hundreds of years ago, 100 years ago. Fight still going on. So we've been a slave, Jim Crow, oppressing on one group of people to make another group of people wealthy country, apartheid country, longer than we have been one that has laws against such things. So we got a lot of work to do to straighten that out. Somebody was telling me about how we, in this chat room, guys, I'm sorry I'm getting into you guys' time, but I want to point out to you that this stimulus check thing, this pandemic came through this pandemic. All the pandemic. And also, we saw that we needed universal health care. When I did the thing on COVID, guys, and the lessons learned, if you go back and look at that presentation, all our presentations are archived. If you go back and look at that presentation, I pointed out how COVID exposed the healthcare system, the privatized healthcare system. We have our healthcare in private hospitals and the like. So when the war, when at a time when we're supposed to unite, it's too late. We played the rugged individual, every man for himself, so long that when it's time for us to unite as one, we need a we need a 9/11 attack to make us even think like one government, let alone act like one. The pandemic showed us that, here's the example I gave in that presentation. New York ordered PPE, personal protection equipment, for its workers who were working with COVID. When it didn't show up on time, New York called the company and says, where's our PPE? And they said, oh, California called. And they were paying more for it than you were, so we sent your shipment to them. Now, we're in the middle of a pandemic. But business practices continued throughout this pandemic. People got rich off of this pandemic. And guess what? Again, when they make that money, they hide it offshore, tax shelters. But they got rich off the pandemic. Pharmaceutical companies got government contracts off the pandemic. Companies competing for government contracts. Now, in an ordinary world, all that's fine. But in a pandemic, all that stops. All you do is take care of your people. Whether it's seeing to it that a corporation has. Biden mentioned that he was going to loosen the patent rules on these new medications, these new vaccines. And these companies went crazy because your copyright, your patent, is supposed to protect it so that you made the drug, so you make the money off the drug because you got a patent on your drug. That's how things work in this country. You copyright your shit so that if anybody make any money off of your shit, it's you. And so these companies says, wait a minute, we developed a vaccine, we got a patent on what we did, and we want to hold that patent. Nobody else can produce it but us and make that money. The government said, wait a minute, we got a pandemic. We need that drug to be made by as many people who can make it as quickly as possible so we can get it into people's arms. But corporations said, oh, no, don't do that. Well, I tell you what. History, always a telltale sign. Linus Pauling, you might remember that name, I don't know, from school or something. But we had a pandemic called polio in this country where it was crippling kids. This guy came up with a vaccine for polio. And he let the patent go so anybody who had the capability to make this vaccine could make it without a legal problem. He didn't keep a patent on the vaccine because it was striking the nation. We were in the middle of a pandemic kind of with polio happening all over the country, right? And so this guy says, no, I don't want the patent. If you can, here's a degree, here's what we did, here's how we made it. And if you can create it, make it, and before you know it, they had shots for everybody. Polio shots. Vaccine. The country, you hardly hear polio anymore. That's how a united nation get together and not take care of business. Then when things get back to normal, yeah, you can play the business game. Everybody gets a patent. Everybody gets a profit. Everybody gets a copyright. Everybody get the money for their creations, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to the public good, when it comes to war, when it comes to pandemics, when it comes to something that affects us all, we can't call you all to unite because we spend so many time telling you it's every man for himself. And then the day we say, all right, let's all unite together because we're under attack, whether it's from a foreign country, 9/11 kind of thing, whether it's from a virus. And we can't seem to pull that off. Because there's somebody, guys, you got to understand that your organization and your unity as working people scares somebody. Somebody makes money off of you being black against white, Christians against Muslims. Somebody makes money off of you not being united. Unions, organized labor. Somebody makes money off you not being organized and united. It pays for you to think you're in this on your own. Hell for leather. Take as much as you can take. Hide your money. Play the game. And so the government says something about helping people, working people. Everybody get upset. We say we're going to bail out a corporation. Boom. Done. Somebody don't want you to unite because you could have. You can unite around war. You unite around attacks. But unity, community, organization, there's power there. Somebody don't want you to have options. They want you to come to work because you have to. How about that? They want you to hold on to this job because you feel you have no alternative. Is that a reason to hold on to a job? There's a reason to get people to come to work because they have to. I'm going to go down and open up my lines, guys. I hate to eat up y'all time like that, but I don't know. If this petition comes across your desk for a universal basic income or for a regular monthly stimulus check, you can think about it as a giveaway, free money, making people lazy, all that good stuff. But I tell you, the people who are pushing that narrative are the people who don't want you to have options. They're the people who make out by bandits, by you not having options. If you have options, you might not come to work, they say. If you don't have any choice, you got to get up and hit it. You got to take that job for whatever it gives you because you can't afford to quit it. That's the workforce they're looking for. All right, guys. I'm going to go ahead and open my lines up here. I got a few more minutes. But I needed to speak to that today. That's a big thing, I think. And I'm going to give you a little music. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. I'm going to give you a little music. My chat room is open. I'm monitoring that chat. I'm taking questions, comments, suggestions. Here we go. It's your time to shine.
Thank you. Yeah,
yeah. No, he came from Buffalo. He came from Buffalo, right?
Yeah, the people from Buffalo.
And you're listening to Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. I'm your host. And we're here every weekday night. Every weekday night. Monday through Friday. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. And all we're talking about on this Blog Talk Radio, on this program, is about the things that affect your life and mine. Some of them directly. Some of the things that affect our lives indirectly. However, we talk about those things from a revolutionary point of view. We talk about revolution is change. And we talk about things from a change point of view. And there's a lot of things out here that need to be changed. And one of them we spoke about tonight. A government needs to offer a floor through which people don't fall through. The idea of going without basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter is ridiculous in the wealthiest country in the world. The problem is that something for nothing rules in this country. We keep in mind that we live in a capitalist country. And the father of capitalism, while we have a capitalistic economy, let me put it that way, and the people who invented capitalism, Adam Smith, the father of capitalism, always said you never pay workers more than you would pay for a machine, upkeep and maintenance. Now, I just heard a company announce that they were going to raise their wages for their workers. And in response, they said that just means that testing. Okay, so I think I'm back on, guys. And I was just blew it off just a minute ago. I told y'all we had some storms here in our city. And so it could be that we're just having some problem with the line. My internet is fine. But my program process here on this application here just had a glitch. Anyway, so guys, I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. We have a little problems on our lines. I just wanted to talk about the universal basic income, because that's where it looks like we're going. The pandemic brought us an understanding of universal health care and necessity. The pandemic brought us the idea of separating government, business, basic government, public services from private corporations, interference in those things, especially when we need, like in a pandemic or a war, when there's a time for this society to unite, all right? Everybody making a profit out of it is not the priority. The priority is to save lives. Once the pandemic is a war or the pandemic is over, yeah, we can go back to everybody making an income, making money. But there's a lot of people got wealthy off of your misery. By the way, there's a lot of people who refuse to help the government during the pandemic unless they got a certain amount of money for it. Patriot companies. Everybody didn't kick in. They were still trying to make a profit, a dollar. Even though many small businesses and others were locked down. Even though we had a pandemic, even though we have this crisis, we still can't seem to put profit-making aside long enough to take care of y'all. it still interferes with our ability to feed, clothe, and house our people. Yeah, I said I would sign that universal, that monthly stimulus check, because it's the closest thing to universal income, that floor I'm talking about, that a government provides to members of it. Because it'll give you options. But there are those who don't want you to have options. See, when I see universal income, I see people having options. I see people taking a minute to pursue their goals in life, the things they're interested in, to taking some inventory of their lives. Not people getting up running every day, hustling every day, risking life and limb every day just to pay for food, clothing, and shelter. Primitive, some basic survival needs, like we were still in the caveman days. Food, clothing, and shelter should have been addressed a long time ago. I don't believe in leaving holes of poverty, pockets of poverty and desperation, because it never pays off in the long run. But there's people who can buy houses up in the hills and get away from the poor where they don't have to see what they are causing as long as they're making money. A lot of people don't want to talk about slavery, but slavery is the ultimate in having somebody help you make wealth, create wealth, and sharing as little as possible of that wealth with them. Well, we live in a country where they announced that America's productivity is way up. The problem is that most of the money went to 1% of the population that we made last year. So we're working harder. We're producing. We're turning things out. But we're not sharing in the benefits. And all I got to do is mention $15 an hour raise, and the corporations go crazy. All I have to remember is mention lessening the patent on the drug that may save lives, so that it can be made in great enough quantities, and corporations go crazy. All I have to do is mention in their politicians. All I have to do is mention universal health care, and the population goes crazy. The corporations go crazy. All I have to mention is a stimulus check to you who was locked down when you couldn't go to a restaurant and work, because the restaurant was closed, or your job, whatever it was, if you wasn't an essential business. I mentioned a stimulus check and everybody goes crazy. But if I decided I need to bail out the financial community, if I need to bail out GM, automobile companies, we seem to come up with the money for that. If we need to bail out Wall Street, we'll lower the interest rate. Why don't they lower the interest rates on your home right now? Why don't they take that down to zero? Why don't they lower the interest rates on the money you owe right now? We just gave the last administration gave a tax cut to the very wealthy, permanent one. Where's yours? Who need the relief the most? You can't afford a bank of lawyers, tax lawyers, to show you how to hide money and not pay taxes. So you end up paying more taxes than a corporation pays, than billionaires pay. How does that make sense to you? But they'll get you to get on their side. Chipotle, a company, a restaurant company, is saying that they're going to raise their wages. But in order to do so, they say they're going to have to raise their prices. That's okay with you. You understand that. If a business has to pay more in wages, it's going to have to compensate by raising the price of its product on its consumer, passing the price along to the consumer. We've all heard that argument. Well, what about the argument that if somehow you were able to lower your cost of doing business, would you lower the prices to the consumer? If you could cut your cost in your business, does that mean you're going to lower your prices? No, you're going to take the money and run. If you're paying a $14 an hour auto worker on an assembly line, and you replace that auto worker with a machine, a robot, you're making that car for less. If you don't make a car out of metal and you make most of it out of fiberglass, you're saving money. If you take the assembly line down to Mexico, whether you, instead of paying $14 an hour, you pay $14 a week, you're saving money. Why come a car cost more when you bring it back here, assembled, to sell it? Oh, it's easy for you to accept the idea that if a company has to pay more to do business, then they can pass that cost on to the consumer. But what about if they have to pay less to do business? Do you see those prices coming down because they saved some money? Or do you see them pocketing that money and becoming billionaires and trillionaires as a result? Don't fall for the okey-doke. A universal basic income is the first time you'll have some options. I have to stay with this job because they got a good health plan. And my kid has a chronic illness, so I need that health plan. If you had universal health care, you could go where you want. You wouldn't have to try to stay with some job just to get health care. If I leave that job, I might not be able to find another job and how I'm going to feed myself and pay my bills. Well, if you had a universal income, your basics would be taken care of pretty much. But you would have some room to go search for jobs. You wouldn't have to put up with what's going on at your job. You have options. Somebody don't want you organized, and somebody don't want you to have options. And somebody want to be able to pay you whatever they want to pay you. Not the cost of living. Whatever they want to pay you. My city, my country, my part of the country, several states in my part of the country have never had a minimum wage, a law, a minimum wage law. That is a minimum wage law is how a city or a state or country says to a corporation, you cannot hire these people for less and pay them, work them full time and pay them less than the cost it takes to live. And so they set a minimum wage that you can pay people. Now, is that socialism? For the government to interfere like that? What if I don't want to pay the minimum wage? What if I like paying $7 an hour? I got you working on an assembly line where you're turning out in a factory or a warehouse, wherever, where you're turning out products that one of the products, let's say you're working at Nike, you're turning out products with just one set of tennis shoes, $200. And you put in 8 hours a day, you've created all kinds of wealth. You've participated in the development of all kinds of profitable products. you paid your salary twice the first day you went to work, Monday morning, in product that you produce, help produce, and get out the door and sell. But what is your share? Your share is not enough for you to feed your family on. Your share is less than the cost it takes to live in your neighborhood, in your community. Pick up and leave. You don't have options like that. I see universal income allowing people to pursue their goals in life for change, to find better jobs, to have options. That some people don't want you to have that. They want to be able to pay you whatever they want to pay you. I told you. If you got a minimum wage in my town, ever, it was a federal mandated law that they cannot pay you less than the federal minimum wage, the government's, the country's minimum wage. Not the cost of living in the state. Our state never had one. Our state would not dare tell a corporation how less it can pay you, the minimum it can pay you. If there wasn't for a federal minimum wage in my state, we would have never had a minimum wage. That's what they think about you and your labor. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. We're here every weekday night, so we'll be here tomorrow night. 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we'll be talking about another topic, so hit us on follow. That's a follow button. And there's a share button. Follow button, share button. Follow and share. Things need to be changed, guys, but we need a little clarity. And that's what this is all about. Thank you for listening in. We'll give you a little music, and we're out of here. Good night.